Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Big Honker Podcast. We appreciate everybody that is tuning in. Our little fan base is growing more and more each month there, Jefe. October's been a record-setting month, and we appreciate every single one of the downloads from the bottom of our heart. We could not do it without you.
Record-setting day, week, and this is going to be another record-setting month.
We've got some amazing sponsors. There is no reason that there should be anything that you're looking for waterfowl-related that we don't have a sponsor for. This podcast is brought to you by the one and only Boss Shot Shells. 100% American-made, and it flies off of the shelf.
Inventory every morning in.
Inventory drops at 10 a.m., and it's gone in a matter of minutes. With the current situation that we're in the United States, if you need shotgun shells, do not wait around. We've been hammering it all summer. We're going to continue to hammer it until they don't have any more shotgun shells to sell. If you need shotgun shells, message them at bossshotshells.com. Get on the list, whatever you have to do. Ship it straight to your door. It's all American-made, and they are wonderful people over at Boss Shot Shells. It's a premium, high-quality load that hits like a freight train every single time. So, great people. Go check them out at bossshotshells.com. We're also brought to you by Bangtail Whiskey. Listen, the ride can be rough. There's no reason that your drink shouldn't be smooth. You need to enjoy a traditional corn mash whiskey aged in charred, new-age American oak barrels, where you will find a pleasant aroma of vanilla and spice before galloping into notes of nougat, sweet corn, and a lingering caramel finish. Ladies and gentlemen, it's all that I drink. I love my whiskey sour at night. Bangtail Whiskey is my whiskey of choice whenever the long day is finally over and I get to edit a podcast and relax with a nice whiskey sour. You can start finding them in liquor stores around you, or you can order it at bangtail.com and it will come straight to you. Brandon's a good guy. Check him out.
Really good guy.
We're also brought to you by Shin Gear Waiters.
The best waiters on the market.
They've got a promise that they will stand behind their product as long as you stand in them. It can be the last pair of waiters that you have to buy. Their promise to you is that if it springs a leak, you send it to them. They'll have a quick turnaround. Check them out at shingear.com and you can discover the difference. About every year, somebody's bitching that they need a pair of waiters. Well, fork over the money, get you a pair of waiters that's going to last from a company that is going to take care of you in the long run. You have problems with it, you send it to them, they'll fix it. It's that easy. Customer service. It's something that's lost in this world. Shin Gear is trying to fix that. Check them out, shingear.com. They have waiters in stock right now, but they won't last long.
Don't be a tight ass.
We're also brought to you by Pacific Calls. Great guys. That is one thing about all of our sponsors. They're all great, great people. And Trevor and Alex from Pacific Calls are no different. You can call them up. They've got an extensive line of waterfowl calls. They've got duck calls, Canada calls, spec calls, snow calls, turkey calls. They're a one-stop shop. You can call them up, and they'd be happy to answer any questions about any of their different calls. My personal favorites are the 206 goose call. It's loud. It's fast. It's aggressive, just like the little geese down here, and the PCD duck call. Hands down, the best duck call in the market. It's smooth. It feels like an old-timey, well-made duck call, and it's my favorite thing to use. It's going to be Reese's favorite thing to use, too, because they're sending calls for his birthday. So he's going to be excited about that. You can find them at PacificCustomCalls.com. You can check out their entire line, or you can just go to the website and call the number and talk to Trevor, Austin, or Stefan, or whoever the hell answers the phone and pick their brain about it. Great people, PacificCustomCalls.com. We're also brought to you by Dirty Duck Coffee. We've got a whole bunch in stock. That's what our people are going to be drinking every single day here at the Big Honker Lodge. If your coffee sucks, it's not the duck. Made right here in the great state of Texas. They've got a blend for every coffee connoisseur out there. They've got a dark roast blend. They've got a medium roast blend. They've got a high velocity for those days that you really need to pick me up. You can also subscribe and get on a monthly rotation, and you won't even have to order it. They'll just ship it straight to your door.
They got badass tumblers. They got clothes. They've got everything at dirtyduckcoffee.com. When you come up here to hunt with us, you can either have some Suns Up, Guns Up, Colombian Supremo, First Flight French Roast, High Velocity Caffeine Roast, or the Missouri Boat Ride.
The Missouri Boat Ride is the way to go. Or you can get the Full Limit Six Duck Special. You can get every one of their roasts for a low cost of $75. Six bags of coffee straight to your door. Hell of a deal. That's at dirtyduck.com. We're also brought to you by Lucky Duck, makers of the best A-frame that's on the market right now. 2x4. Other companies, they'll tell you that their blind can fit 4 people. I've been in the other people's blinds. Cannot fit 4 people. 4 midgets? Maybe. 4 grown men with all their waterfowl gear? No. Lucky Ducks 2x4 can. They also make spinners. They're waterproof. You accidentally spill one in the pond when you're duck hunting, your dog knocks it over going to retrieve a bird. Takes a little swim. All you got to do, pick it up, dry it off. Works like a champ. It's waterproof. It's great stuff. They have a kennel line out. It is 5-star crash test rated, so you can put it in the back of your pickup, and you do not have to worry about your 4-legged friend if you have an accident. So check them out at luckyduck.com. We are also brought to you by Gundog Outdoors. Speaking of your 4-legged friend, you should go to Gundog Outdoors and get the quick release system. I think, you know, no matter what level your dog may be at, the quick release system is it's a good tool to have. They have bad days every once in a while. And if your dog's breaking, all it takes is once. So clamp your dog in with the quick release system. You don't have to worry about him going anywhere. And I also think that every waterfowl hunter should have their field trauma kit. It could save a life. Put it in your bag. It packs up nice and neat. Alex is a retired firefighter, retired first responder. He knows the tools that you're going to need to stop bleeding, get somebody warmed up from hypothermia. Life and death situations is what he thrived in. And he has tailored this field trauma kit to meet a lot of different needs. So it can go in your hunting bag, sit in the back of your pickup truck, takes up no space at all, and it's affordable. So I believe everybody should take that and have an ounce of preparation. That's at GundogOutdoors.com. We're also brought to you by the Looking Glass Duck Club podcast. Logan and Rebel, they're up on Patreon right now at $7 a month. You go to Patreon, you get full access to their entire podcast library, all the episodes, bonus material, you know, you name it, you got access to it. You can be a member of the Looking Glass Duck Club podcast cult for $7 a month. Fork it over, listen to what all they got going on. The bourbon reviews are free to everybody. They go up on iTunes, Spotify, all that good stuff every week. But the full-length podcast episode, you got to pay for that stuff, and that you find that at Patreon. We're also brought to you by Goose Creek Retrievers. Matt Peel is carving out a legacy right now. He is on a world tour. He's going to all the field tests, the hunt tests. He's racking up the ribbons, putting out high-quality dogs. If you need to send your dog to a trainer, I cannot recommend Matt Peel enough. Some of the things that he's able to do with dogs, with puppies, no matter what level they're at, he's truly a master of his craft, and he's putting out world-class dogs. High-caliber dogs, Jeff.
The best. Stays busy, works hard. I've known a lot of guys that are dog trainers. I don't know any that I've ever been around that are as committed as much as he is.
Right.
He's 24/7.
All the time.
Shit, he had COVID and still worked, I think.
I think you're right.
He's a go-getter.
He is. He's a good guy. Check him out on Instagram, Goose Creek Retrievers, and it's a good follow on Instagram. We're also brought to you by EyeSight Drones. No sense in living in the dark ages. They are now offering LiDAR inspection with an American-made drone. And if you don't know what LiDAR is, it creates an extremely accurate 3D model, and it can be used for infrastructure, construction, inspection, terrain modeling, archaeology, power line inspection, and much, much more. They actually used this on a farmer's field so that they could tell where the water was draining. He was wanting to do some water work, and they were able to tell him exactly how much dirt to move and where to move it to free up some water movement. But it is an American-made drone. If you email them, honker@eyesightdrones.com, you can receive 20% off of their services. Tell them you heard it here. Tell them what you got cooking, and they will bring their American-made drone out. Do a little bit of LiDAR and tell you exactly what you need to do to get your duck hole optimized. That's at eyesightdrones.com. We're also brought to you by Steak Plains Meats. Listen, we are in an uncertain times here in America. The grocery stores, it feels like every time we go, there's less and less food on the shelves.
If you can afford to buy a whole beef, there's no other reason to go. There's no reason to not go that route. Matter of fact, I saw yesterday that ranchers are coming up with their own money to build their own processing plant because they're getting screwed. The American people are getting screwed. If you want to buy meat, go to Steak Plains Meats. You can get a whole beef. You can get your deer processed there. That's the route to take. Things are so ridiculous when you go to a grocery store right now. I saw beef the other day, $25 a pound for ribeyes.
I don't doubt it.
You can go to Steak Plains Meat. You get a better price, a better product. You can get a whole beef, a quarter beef, or a half beef, but go to Steak Plain Meats.
Last but not least, we are brought to you by the one and only Stanfield Hunting Outfitters right here at the Big Honker Lodge, Knox City, Texas.
Midweek,
dates are filling up.
Midweek December, I've got a few dates left. I've got the week after Christmas is open for some reason. I do not know why. It's always weird. You have a couple of days that for some reason are still open that are usually closed. I've got that open, and I've got a few weekdays in January left, and that's about it, folks. But we look forward to having you. We'd love to have you come hunt with us. Booking for spring turkey hunts already. We're going to do some unguided hog hunts in February and March. Holler at us at stanfieldhunting.com or goose@westtex.net, or you can call 940-658-3172. And, yes, I do answer my own phone.
Ladies and gentlemen, this episode of the podcast, we are joined by the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Trevor Austin himself. He is one of the guys that's behind the big machine that is Pacific Calls. They are expanding like crazy. They're filling orders. It's that time of year again, so it's their busy season. They're also trying to, go hunting every once in a while. Heaven forbid, right? Trevor's a great guy. A lot of fun to talk to, and we hope you enjoy it. And if you're in the market for a new goose or duck call, go check them out at pacificcustomcalls.com because they're the best, and they got a call for everybody. Go check them out, pacificcustomcalls.com. Here we go, Trevor Austin. Boys and girls, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Boom, and welcome to the Big Honker Podcast, brought to you by Pacific Game Calls. I'm Jeff Stanfield.
I am the one and only Andy Shaver. Got my world-famous T-shirt right behind me, Trevor. You'll be happy to know
there
that.
There you go.
You'll be happy to know that.
I appreciate that.
It's right behind me. I look at that. It puts me in the zone every single day that we walk into the studio. I'm ready to rock and roll. By seeing my T-shirt, by my face on a T-shirt.
Now, are you going to introduce
me? You got to have that, you know.
Yeah,
it's that pep up, that right when you walk into the lodge, you know, you're getting a good feeling going. So I'm glad we can support and do that with you.
Yeah, you've nurtured my ego quite well, and I appreciate that. I guess I should introduce you. On the line with us today, we've got the man behind Pacific Calls, Mr. Trevor Austin. How are you, bud?
Hey, boys.
We're
doing it. We're doing it. Thanks for having me on again.
We're excited to talk to you. Now, you just got back from you've been on a North American world tour. You've been up to Canada. You've been to Idaho. You're everywhere.
Yeah. Well, it's 'tis the season, you know. You got to start traveling.
Oh, my goodness.
It just opened up in Washington last weekend, so we were able to kind of spread it out and do the North Dakota in August, then do Canada, a little bit of Washington for early goose, and then Canada, and then the Idaho opener. So we've been going places, filming and doing a little bit of fun stuff. So it's been a good time.
Now, how hard is the if you're on the YouTube thing, because our YouTube thing is kind of fucked up, I found the only picture of you that I could find where you were by yourself, and it is you got a goose shell over your head. So apologies if you don't like pictures of you.
That was down in Colorado.
It looks cold as shit.
It was cold as shit.
Yeah,
for sure. I think it was like 10 degrees or something like that. Colorado gets that wild weather. It was like 70 degrees one day, then down to 10 the next day.
What was the temperature right there? Do you remember?
I think it was low 20s or maybe 10s. In the teens? Tens. How about tens? In the teens? How about that one? Tens. It's a new kind.
Yeah, you know, English is might be your second language, but no big deal.
So how has the hunting been?
It's been, honestly, it's been pretty good. There's been a lot of movement. When I was up in Alberta about 2 weeks ago now. We got up there, and I think we hit the first main push in the Calgary area, and we ran into all sorts of widgeon and young-looking mallards and a lot of pintail and widgeon mainly. We did get into the specs a little bit in the Canadas, but we ripped out of there and went due north about 10 hours up to Peace River area, which is a completely different change in country. And there was just an ass load of mallards and tons of Canadas. And you don't see too many snow geese up in that area, but we did see some here and there. But right when we got up there, it dropped down to, I think, a daily high of like 35 or so. And it snowed the second night we were there. So we got some weather, and we got right in front of that push. So we hit it pretty good up when we were up in Alberta.
That's my bucket list place to go in Canada, is the Peace River. I've always wanted to go there, and I have for years.
Yeah, that's where my dad went for 22 years, I think, 20 years.
What now with COVID? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, no, I was just saying. Then I finally got to go up with him. But, yeah, what were you saying?
With COVID last year. So that was last year you did not get to go to Canada.
Right.
How many years prior had you gone?
For me, it would have been my 10th year straight and my dad's 30th year.
Jeez. That's a streak that just breaks your heart to have to have end. So what was it getting back up there this year?
It was the easiest thing I've ever done.
Really?
It was. I mean, if you're down with getting the old shot, then you're fine. You download this app. It's called ArriveCan, and you upload the negative test results. You just upload a photo of that screenshot when you get that sent in. You roll up to the border. You have all your paperwork correct. There's really nothing else that's wild and out there. I mean, you got to ask them. They ask you some COVID questions on that app, but it's all simple. It's the same shit you would answer down here. Have you had a fever? Blah, blah, blah. Where are you going to go if you get COVID? So pretty straightforward. Have your gun paperwork, go up to the window, and they chat with you, and you show them your phone and the reference number they give you, and go inside, pay for your guns, and you're out the door, man. It was the fastest time I've ever been through the border.
I wonder what the future is going to be like that, because I would like to go to Canada and hunt, but I'm not getting the fucking shot, so that's going to cut me out. But I wonder
you're going to have to retire and go up there for 14 days.
Well,
you can get in. You just have to quarantine for 2 weeks if you're not.
Oh yeah, there was a lot of guides that quarantined.
Really?
I know three or four of them that did it. Yeah. One just came through and stopped at the shop the other day, and I didn't know this, but he had a quarantine in a barn on top of pallets. His bed was on top of pallets for 14 days. He had to live in a barn.
Yeah, that shit ain't happening for me, so I'm out on that.
So no. What was his like? Not leave that barn, like had to have food delivered?
Yeah, so you pretty much, I guess he got all of his food and everything before he went across. And right when you go across, they give him a number, the rules and what you got to do. He told them where he's going, and then they just do random phone calls, you know, every day or every other day, and check in. You got to do a video conference with someone. I think that was, I think they had to do that three times a week, and it had to be in the same area, obviously, where the video was taken. So each time. So, but yeah, he just said he had a chat with somebody.
Yeah.
See, I'm hoping that 2 or 3 years down the road, we're going to get to a place that we find out that this fucking deal's all over anyways. Then we can start going around, and Canada may never let us do that, but that if I could go to Canada and hunt somewhere, Peace River would be the place I want to go to. I want to go to Montreal to go there, and I want to go to Peace River. And I want to go to St. John's.
I've only been to Alberta. I've never done Saskatchewan. I've never done Ontario, Manitoba. I've never done that. But I've hunted East Alberta, Central, and West Alberta. And I mean, I think it brings a lot to the table, and it's just gorgeous country. So
yeah, I would like to see it. The other part, Montreal. I don't give two shits about hunting over there, and I would like to drive the coast from Maine all the way up to Newfoundland to St. John's. I think that would be a cool trip.
Yeah,
but
that would be right during the fall.
Yeah, That I just, or I'd even go in the summer to St. John's. I'd just like to see that country before I die.
Well, didn't you boys used to come up to Saskatchewan or Alberta?
Yeah, we went across the border illegal, and Andy got caught. Andy's the only person I know that's been banded from Canada for a year.
Oh my God, are you serious?
Yeah, I got banned for a year. What are you gonna do?
Not only did he get banned, but they passed pictures around of his wife naked on an iPad to everybody that worked there.
So here's the deal. We teamed up with an outfitter up there. They only did big game hunts. They were trying to expand their operation into waterfowl hunting, so we partnered up with them. Well, they dicked around because they own the company, so they dicked around and they didn't give me a work visa in time. So they give me some, you know, you're supposed to say this and do this. And, well, anyway, you know, that works all. Like Mike Tyson said, everybody has a plan until you get punched in the mouth. The Border Patrol agent punched me in the mouth early and rattled me, just rattled my cage. So I was screwed from the get-go. So, you know, it's the whole deal, like, are you up here guiding? And it's like, no, I'm not guiding at all. It's like, well, how long are you staying? I'll be here a month. It's like, oh, you're freelancing and you're staying here a month? And like, yeah, you know, I got a good boss. What do you want from me? They're like, well, what do you do for a living? It's like, well, funny enough, I'm a hunting guide. And, you know, red flag number fucking two. And anyway, they kept us there for shit. It seemed like all night, and it was probably only a couple hours. But yeah, anyway, so they confiscate my phone. You know, and I'm like, haha, bitch, I got a passcode on that. You're not getting into there. That took her like 30 seconds. Right. She was like, hey, what's your passcode? And I'm like, fuck, I got to give it to her. So give her my passcode. And then, like, I was newlywed at the time. I was married. We were still living out here in the skunk house. So we were married maybe a year, maybe not even a year. So, you know, you're away from home from mom for the first time. So, you know, like, you get some naughty text messages. And, yeah. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So this lady, I can see it all over her face. She starts going through my messages.
Yes.
And that was strike number three. That was the real reason that they didn't let me into Canada. They're like, we're not letting this maniac across our borders. Like, look what he's telling his wife. What's he going to do to the, you know, if he's going to do that to her, what's he going to do to these poor ladies up here? So
you only do to a circus animal what you're doing to that poor girl.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
And then they found a bunch of emails. You know, Jeff was confirming dates with clients, and it was a poorly made plan. And
you didn't even get to cross.
No. Didn't even get to fucking cross.
let me tell you
and
this.
And then they had us come back the next
tell
day.
Tell them about the dog. You're leaving out the story about Lou and how much he's worth.
Oh, yeah. So, listen. I was just trying to make conversation with this very, very thorough Border Patrol agent lady.
And that's the first thing you did wrong was make a conversation.
Oh, yeah. I did. There were many things that I did wrong. Okay. I mean, many. So it was hot and I had Lou in the kennel in the back of the pickup. And I was like, hey, do you mind if I bring my dog in? And you know, it's 95 degrees out there. He's baking. And she's like, yeah, sure. So, I had a joke. Have you? No, somebody told you that, didn't they? You ever seen a $10,000 dog or some shit like that? Anyway, I said that joke to that lady. I said, hey, have you ever seen a $10,000 dog? And I pointed at Lou, and she's like, oh, that's probably why you're coming up here to guide hunts, is to pay for that dog. And I'm like, fuck, lady. You've got me at checkmate everywhere I go.
Oh, my God.
So,
you've got no luck with that.
No. So they tell us, they said, okay, so you need to go to a main port of entry tomorrow, such and such time, and they will decide what to do with you. So I get to the main port of entry, and so, yeah, not only do they tell me, you know, not only do I not get in, now I've got to spend the night somewhere, and it was like going to the principal's office the next day. So they said, walk in, and they look at everything. They said, okay, so we got three things we're going to do. We're either going to turn you around right here. We're either going to let you in. We're either going to turn you around, or we're going to turn you around and or we're not going to let you in and possibly put you in jail. And I'm like, fuck, this is terrible. Like, I was just trying to be an illegal immigrant. I was trying to be an illegal alien. Like,
yeah.
If we're going to throw me in jail. So they kept me in that little holding cell for a little bit, and then they were like, we're not letting you in, and you're banned from Canada for a year.
So oh, my God.
I did my year, and then we had proper paperwork, halfway proper paperwork the next year. Went up there that one year. It was miserable. It was miserable.
How old were you?
24, 25.
Oh,
24
my.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And then me and Tony had to drive back up there. We got a hold of a guide in Canada to work for us for a month up there. So we had to leave our trailer and all of our decoys there. Then me and Tony had to drive all the way to the border and then go over and pick up the trailer in I can't remember where we went to picked it up in Regina.
No. Oh, you crossed the border?
You had to go all the way to Regina to get the trailer to come back home.
It was terrible. This is why I don't like traveling, Trevor. This is why, right here.
You have some shit luck with traveling.
I hate it.
Absolute shit luck.
This is why I don't go
anywhere. How was your trip? Did you get through? Did you make it back home safely from your trip that you just went on?
Well, they canceled our flight on coming home in Miami. Oh, my. So I had
was it United or
American,
or Southwest or
American? Well, they didn't cancel. I'm sorry, they didn't cancel our flight. They held us on the tarmac for an extra hour and 45 minutes, so we missed our connecting flight.
Oh,
is what
shit.
It was. So we got to stay in Miami overnight, and it was a shit show. I'm telling you, I hate traveling. I hate it.
Yeah. Well, you don't have good luck with it, man. I'll tell you that much.
But, you know, for guys like you, it's a breeze. You just walk across and, you know, you're there 10 minutes.
Yeah, but, I mean, I've had some slow-me-downs at the border before. But, Haley and we travel a lot. But one time I had at the border, I was coming back. And, you know, when you come back after a trip, your trailer looks like shit.
Yeah.
And I had that 16-foot stuffed to the top. And she opens it up, or she comes out, and she's like, well, I want to see all of your ducks, all of your geese, and I want you to open up your trailer. And I go, I'll open up my trailer, but I'm not going to unload it. And she's like, why? Are you hiding something? I go, no. I've been hunting for 7 days straight, and you will not be able to shove this thing back in. And she opens it up, and two decoys fell out. And so two of my buddies grab, they run up, and they're holding all these bags of silhouettes and shit. And she's like, just tell me there's no fucking moose down there. And I go, there's no moose, lady. We just been goose hunting for 7 days. I promise you. She's like, I'm not ripping through that shit. And she's like, close it. Hurry up.
Yeah, see, that would have been my luck. They would have. I tell you what,
they would have strip searched you.
They'd have strip searched me and looked for the moose in my ass. It's just the luck that I have. But I tell you, coming back, though, it was a breeze. We caught it at, it was 7 or 8 o'clock at night, and the guys were, you know, they just waved us on through, and they didn't even look. They didn't give a shit. So it's all who you, like, if I'd have caught a guy that wasn't too, you know, thrilled with his job, I probably could have got in that first year. And what sucks is I've known so many people that have done it without a work visa. They go across, and it's no big deal for them. I get fucking super cop, and she's looking at the naked pictures that my wife sent me.
I come back from Jamaica.
Crossing borders tough.
Yeah, I come back from Jamaica one time, and I landed at DFW, and it was me and a buddy of mine. And I look like the fucking fat kid from spring break coming back. I'm fucking sunburned, peeling, tan. I got my hair fucking in dreads or whatever, or beads or whatever the hell it is. I got a just do me in Jamaica shirt on. My buddy, he
you
looks
got a
like,
smoke in your on your ear.
This buddy of mine, he looks like he just got out of law school, which he had at the time. He's got polo shirt pressed and these chino shorts on and loafers and shit. And I look like the bum that had all the fun, and I did have a whole lot more fun than he did. A guy gets in my bag of shit, and he goes, you got any? He said, start going through my stuff. I said, buddy, I said, I may look like I party all the time and I've had a great time in Jamaica, but I said, you're wasting your time. There ain't shit in my stuff except dirty clothes. I said, I got $7 left on me probably. He goes, okay. Yeah. He zipped my shit up and let me go. My buddy told him that shit. They went through him. They made him go in the back, take his clothes off. They went through his shit left and right.
Oh, and I drew the number coming, going back home in the St. Lucia airport. We're walking, about to board the plane. And they, one guy comes out of curtains and grabs me, separates me from my wife. I was the lucky number. Like, he came out of nowhere. I didn't even know there were people there. My wife was scared to death. She thought I was about to get sex trafficked. She was worried.
Oh. I am never traveling with you. I will meet you at the location.
Meet me at the place. But yeah, I'm walking. Well, no, do travel with me because I'm the one that takes all the heat and y'all just get to, you know, you get a free pass.
Yeah, true. I can smuggle more tobacco across it, now.
That's exactly right. But yeah, he came out of nowhere. The curtains fly open. It startled me. It startled me. He comes out, he grabs me, and he's like, you need to come this way. And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm boarding a plane right now. Why do I need to come with you?
And, what did they ask you?
They said, so you're the lucky number. You're a random search, and this will go very – this is what he says. Quote, this will go very smoothly as long as you don't lie to me and as long as you don't have anything on you that you're not supposed to have. And I'm like, okay, like – number one, like, why would I put weed in my carry-on? You know, that's in my that's in my check luggage. Like, you know, give me a break, buddy. I'm not that stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
So he
it's
goes
in all my pills, bud.
yeah. Like, you think I got contraband here on my carry-on? You're fucking crazy. So goes through my carry-on bag. He fondles my Johnson and then sends me on my way.
Oh, well.
Easy enough.
It's not too bad, I guess.
No. Were the people excited to have Americans back up there, or could you really tell?
When you go across into Canada, they're always nice. They always ask questions, and I'm sure they're asking questions about, like, what are you really fucking doing up here? Instead of, like, hey, we actually care about your life. But they're always, like, pleasant to talk to. It's when you come across to go back into the U.S., where the Border Patrol at U.S., they're just assholes. They like don't want you to come back ever.
Right.
So, but going up to Canada when you're going through there, it's they're super nice and they ask if what we're hunting and you know I asked them has there been a lot of hunters and yeah you know they said there's been quite a bit going through so they didn't seem like they were mad that anybody was coming. That's for sure. They're probably happy to see someone come across the border.
I always tell the American Border Patrol, it don't matter where I'm crossed or where, I always say something shitty about the fucking president. Unless we had Trump, then I said something great. But
yeah.
I used to tell them Obama was a worthless piece of shit. And they'd always agree with me and laugh, and then they let you go through. They were happy because they knew you were one of them.
Well, maybe I need to try that.
Well, you live in Washington State. There's a bunch of liberal fucks up there, so they don't know which side you're on. So when you explain to them which side you're on, then they know.
But I cross in Idaho, so they all know.
Yeah, that's right. They should know.
Now, is that strategically planned? Like, is it a smaller port and just easier to get through?
No, it's actually a bigger port, and it's just the fastest way to get up through BC, through Crow's Nest, which is the Rockies, and then over into Alberta. Instead of going all the way up into Montana or all the way through to Montana and then up, I only got to go through one pass if I go north of Idaho up through the Rockies there.
Where is Banff at?
Banff?
Yeah.
Banff is up in BC, so that's part of that whole range right there. So it's just north of us.
They say that's a beautiful place.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. I haven't been there. I've been meaning to take Haley to there's a lake down below, and it got a huge old lodge. And I mean, there's probably a bunch of stuff there, but it's got a big old lodge, and they do a big Christmas thing. And but it's huge, you know. It's a huge tourist attraction. Thousands of Chinese will fucking line up on that side of the highway, and they will just take photos of moose and bear and shit. And my dad's literally had to pull off on the freeway and crawl and like go around people on the side because people are pulled over on the fucking freeway taking photos.
And they're Chinese people?
It's all like not all of them, but fuck most of them.
That's that way tornado chasing now. You'll see them all jump out and everybody, and you're looking around and they're fucking whole busloads of them.
Chinese.
Yeah,
people.
I heard you fuck talk about that. You're talking about that one podcast a little bit ago. There's just thousands of people just line up on roads now.
Yeah, just taking pictures of shit. But the buses will pull up and it'll be all Chinese people jump out. That's the way it used to be in Vegas and fuckers would stop all over taking pictures and crap.
Yeah, that's what you should do. You should just get a bus, Jeff, and just start taking people with your storm chasing. They can take photos and you can get your gas paid for.
You know one reason? I've thought about getting in the touring business. I got real close to getting into it one time with a guy. The problem is I don't want to be stuck in a vehicle for 12 hours with some dipshit I don't like.
Yeah.
You just
That's how it is scouting for me. I'm stuck in a pickup truck with a bunch of dipshits that I don't want to be with.
You shouldn't talk about Josh and Blake that way.
You can't talk about your friends like that.
Yeah, that's horrible.
You should hear what they say about you when you're not around.
It's all true.
But that's the only thing I don't like about that, the storm chase. And I storm chase with a select group of people out here that I really like.
Yeah.
My kids,
well,
none
sure
of them
a
wanted
lot of
it.
Shit to talk about when you're doing it, too, like which way you should go and who you trust.
Yeah, I don't listen to very many people. I'm pretty good about that myself. I make I make a lot of my own decisions there. But the chase part is fun. It's the 2 or 3 or 4 hours sometimes before you get on the storms. Because I might drive to northern Oklahoma knowing I'm not going to get on a storm until I get close to the Kansas border. So you got a lot.
Oh, you'll go that far, huh?
Oh, yeah. One day I left here about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I talked to Michelle about an hour before dark. She goes, "Where are you at?" I said, "I'm about an hour into New Mexico." She goes, "God almighty." I said, "Yeah, I'll be home about 3 or 4 in the morning."
Jesus. And who do you usually go with?
I got a friend of mine named Harry that works for me, goes with a lot. Tony goes a lot now. I used to have this Mexican friend named Fred Ledesma. It's got a big head, but Fred don't. He got married. He married him a younger wife. He traded down about 10 years, and he just had a baby, and he can't do anything anymore. He doesn't realize that his wife's controlling his life until he listens to this. And then Coach Steele was a good friend of mine. He's another one.
He was there at Dive Bomb.
Yeah. He's the one that he got divorced and lost 400 pounds. Well, actually, he's lost about 200, and his new wife's about 200 pounds lighter than his old wife.
Nice.
And
he's on the up and up.
Yeah. But Coach goes with me a lot. And I've got some local people, but I've got a pretty tight circle that I chase with.
Yeah. Andy, you never go?
Fuck no.
Andy,
too much travel.
He's too nervous.
No,
Nelly.
I've got I have way too much to do. Way too much to do. Plus, the thought of sitting in a vehicle for 3 hours to get to the place where I'm going to sit in a vehicle for 3 hours more, hoping that a tornado is going to come and just ruin somebody's life, and then driving home 3 hours. That does not sound fun to me.
That's not your cup of tea?
Not my cup of tea. No, I would. Yeah. I'd rather. Plus, I mean, the contrary to what Jeff believes, the podcast takes it's a lot of hours.
I've never said nothing about it.
So
ever taken that it's not. I give you credit all the time on that. I don't know what we would do if something happened to Andy. I'd have to hire someone to come do all this.
But, no, I don't have time. Plus, you know, people see me out there with my World Famous T-shirt and
up to take your photo, not the photo of the storm.
That's exactly right. You talk about clogging a hole and blocking up traffic. Well,
yeah, you don't want to do that.
No, there's lives at stake here.
Exactly.
I even used Andy to get a table in Maine.
See there?
I was like, yeah.
Did it work?
Yeah, I said, hey, the world famous Andy Shaver is going to be here in a minute because he's going to be sitting with us. She goes, fuck him. He's an asshole. I said, well, she knows him pretty well then.
Oh, my God. That actually happened?
No. Oh. But I would, if she would have said he was an asshole. Somebody was somewhere and they had a shirt on, had one of the shirts on, and some lady goes,
she was old, Jeff. She's not my demographic.
What's that say in your shirt? World famous Andy Shaver. Never fucking heard of him. Is that what she told him?
Some old grandma on Walmart.
Never fucking heard of him.
Giving one of my listeners shit.
We should send her one.
Yeah.
Yeah, here you go, bitch.
Yeah, no shit.
Make it extra long, that way it can be like a muumuu.
Yeah, then she'll wear it forever.
She'll wear it forever, the old hag. She God. Wishes she heard of me.
How's business, Trevor? Y'all busy?
We are busy. Things are in motion. We got, you know, everyone's in place. We got a couple new employees this summer. So we're up to, what are we at? So there's Matt, Spencer, Ryland, Hankins, Wilson, and Alex and I, and then we have Hannah. We have a couple others that are part-time. We've got Wilson's wife now, Lauren, and another gal named Hannah keeping us in line, and then a couple others will swing in once in a while and take care of some stuff. But no, it's we're chug-a-lugging. We're trying to finish up one job right now that's got literally all 5 machines bogged down. So as soon as that's done, then I will open up the floodgates and just trying to get ready for, I hate to say it, but Black Friday and the holiday season's coming around the corner. It's not going to be too long, so we're trying to get inventory popped up. And, well, if we are, then that means everybody else is too. So we're busy with, you know, everybody else's. But, we're rocking and rolling. We got one more machine coming in here soon. So, and we got our third laser engraver in yesterday. So we'll production will speed up just a little bit more.
That's crazy.
That is good.
That's a great problem to have, though.
Are you going to be at Squad Fest next year?
Oh yeah. We'll be there. I saw the post. I think Kyle tagged us in it. We'll be there for sure.
It's in fucking middle of July.
Really?
It's gonna be hotter than hell. Last time was hot. Yeah, they moved it to July. Yes, they did too.
I don't think you're right.
I'll tell you what. I will bet both of y'all if y'all want to bet on this right now.
Oh,
you're playing Andy's role right now. Jeff's always wrong, and then it's always Jeff's always right.
Who told you that?
It's on a fucking post they sent me.
Mark your calendars. Oh, Jeff's right.
What is it?
July 15th and 16th.
Is it going to be inside?
No, I don't know. They said they're moving to a different deal. I hope, God almighty, it was hotter than fuck last year. Woo! Oh,
Lord. Well, then Delta's got one down in Little Rock that we might go to, and that's at the end of July. So it's, and that's going to be fucking miserable, I bet you.
I'm trying to plan our family vacation, and that's what I was looking at. And I was thinking we're going to fly out July 17th, so we may go, our family may meet us somewhere, and we may just fly to St. Louis. Boy, that would be nice on our end. Oh, yeah. Your wife will be pissed at you.
I thought they were going to do it in April or something.
No, that's what I thought too at one time, but I thought it would be early May, but it's going to be in July. July.
It'll be all right. They'll have enough bush.
We're going to be there too.
I've already put my reservation in to be next to that fucking beer stand again. So I'm paying. I even told Cody I'd sponsor the damn thing just to be next to it.
Are you going
to
take Stefan with you?
Oh, Stephanie might come. I don't know. We'll see, though. We'll see how he is.
I really liked him. He was a nice guy.
You know, he's an asshole for most of the time, but, you know, he is one of my best friends. So he is he's got good blood in him. That's for damn sure. No, he means well. He's always talking shit. Always fucking talking shit.
He means well.
I texted him the other day and asked him if he's getting me them football tickets, and he bailed on me. So I got to get Payne's football tickets.
He ghosted your ass?
No, he didn't ghost me. He said, you got to have a vaccine to go, bro, or some shit. Well, fuck it. It wasn't for me, and Payne's got a vaccine.
Oh, Seahawks, you got to get a vaccine, huh?
Well, he said something about a vaccination or some shit, and I just didn't know.
Probably the whole city, you need to have a vaccine now.
Well, he might be upset with me about my comment about him and Stoner at the strip club in Tacoma and Split Reed, so who knows?
Yeah, I doubt it. He loved it.
Was he talking up a big game at Squad Fest, Jeff? Like, I'll get you tickets, no problem?
No, not at all. I didn't even mention it. Trevor told me that Stefan might be able to get me some tickets.
Jeff was talking about it. So I was like, well, fuck, I'll call. I chatted with Stefan, and he was all down for it. And I was like, well, fucking call Jeff. You get it figured out. I'm not playing middleman anymore. Here's his number. And then Stefan pulled his stuff in, didn't contact anybody. And, now we're sitting here, and now he's come up with some bullshit lie.
So basically, on December 5th, I think, is the game. It's Seattle is playing 49ers. I need two tickets for my son that's in the military serving our country. Do you see it? See, I threw that in there?
He's Democrating our listeners now.
So if anybody knows anybody's got tickets, I'll pay for the tickets. I don't mind paying for them, but I need some tickets for that night. Two tickets.
Hey. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, well, I bet you he's bullshitting with you. I would hit him up again.
Well, if he didn't want to mess with me, I don't want to come off that way with him, because I might need him to do me a favor one day.
Yeah.
Fuck him. He may need to do me a favor one day.
There you go.
Or may need me to do him a favor. So
we're all going to need favors that one day.
That's right.
The alarming part is he never. I've never seen him in anything other than that blue cutoff.
Yeah.
He's got 12
of
them.
He wears that.
Does he have 12 of them, or that's the only one?
That rugged look he plays off pretty good. He plays off, I'm super badass.
Now, isn't he the guy to go to the strip club with that everybody, all those strippers like him?
I hate to say it, but yeah.
He don't come across as a threat to him, that's why.
No, but he pulls all of them in, and it's not because he looks like some gay guy. It's because of that fucking mustache they always say. It has gotten to his goddamn head, and the rest of this fucking industry that always meets him around the shows and stuff, they're always commenting on how cool his mustache is there, too. So it's just a big blow up on his old dome piece.
There is no reason in the world that me and him would have gotten along. We have nothing in common, but I really liked him. I did. He was a good guy.
Well, that's a good thing about Stefan, and that's why I love guiding with Stefan. He was one of my best hands when I was guiding with when he was with us, and you just tell him, you know, this is what we're gonna do. Okay, cool. And then 10 minutes later, he's not doing it. He's just talking to the clients, and the clients are leaving you alone. Yeah. So you can just focus on your shit, and it was the best thing ever.
That's why Blake likes guiding with Andy. So Blake can get all the work done, and Andy's over there talking to everybody.
No.
Yeah.
That is not me at all.
I was going to say, I don't know if that sounds like you. Now, I haven't been hunting with you.
No, I am very very anal about how things are ran. So when I can get somebody like a Blake or somebody to kind of, you know, just keep the guys entertained while I do this, it was really good when it was myself, Zach, and Blake, because Zach and I could do all the basically everything. Blake could talk to the guys and keep them laughing with that Tommy Boy attitude of his, and it worked out perfect.
So I could be a second guide for you then and just visit?
Yeah, you just got to come up.
Yeah. Oh, there you go, Jeff. You got a job with
Trevor. I'm going to come up north.
I'll even get you a quad to fucking drive around on so you don't have to walk around.
I'm getting more and more. I enjoy walking more. Get my miles
up. There you
go. I put in about...
Well, it's not that far of a walk from the trailer to the blind, so...
As long as I don't have to worry about a moose or a bear eating my ass, I'm good.
No, not out here in the basin. No, if we go up to North Idaho, then you'll see some shit.
I'd like to come up there and just see the shit and look around. I don't...
It's gorgeous. I mean, you're hunting in the fucking mountains.
That would be awesome. I just don't want to be bear shit. That's the only thing I worry about.
We were setting up on North Idaho. So Washington and Idaho, parts of Idaho opened up last weekend. All of Washington opened up last weekend. And we were up there Thursday kind of getting camp set and getting all ready. And Friday we took the day to get reeds and grass and all sorts of shit cut. Well, at the end of the day when we got our blind set up on the spot we were going to go to, we walked by and there was fresh bear prints right next to it.
Oh, nice.
Fuck that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a...
You get that quad for me.
I've seen that shit up in Peace River, but not down here.
Yeah, Peace River, you're getting close to polar bear country also, so that's really bad.
I've had bears walk through my spread before while I was hunting with my dad up there.
No way.
Hell no.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah. They're like 60 yards out from your blind. You're just sitting there.
Do they know that you're there, or they're just walking?
There's nothing
through?
You can do.
Do they know
there's
are they
nothing
are,
you can do?
Are they coming for you though, or do they just are they just like casually
no,
passing?
No,
through?
they're sniffing around.
Fuck that.
Fuck that would be all she wrote.
No.
Oh, that would be it for
no,
me.
No, I'm not doing that.
No, they don't. Did you have a dog with you?
Up in Canada.
Yeah.
When the bear came through.
Yeah. Oh, when the bear came. No, we didn't have a dog.
They don't like dogs.
Scared to death of them.
Yeah, no, we were out. It was just my dad and I doing an afternoon shoot. And my dad's buddy, who lives up there, the local, and our other friend, they were out shooting, filling his bear tag. And we were texting him saying to come to the field and shoot this one.
Here's the deal. The hunting part, if I could see, but as soon as it got fucking dark, I'd be scared to death.
Yeah.
The last morning when I was up in Peace River, I had a park on the next quarter section over because a bunch of birds were setting up there. And I forgot my headlamp on my walk back, and my butt was puckered. My butthole was puckered. I'm not going to lie. I mean, shit, they got wolves. They got everything running around there.
As any grown man that told you he's not scared of the dark is a fucking liar. I'm telling
exactly.
You, there's something happens.
Fuck who you are.
Yes. You know?
Yeah.
I've been there before.
Because a lot of these fields that you're hunting around in Peace River area, you got the bush. And, I mean, the bush is their forest, right? So it's thick.
Yeah.
And that surrounds the field. Like, there's no field edges. I mean, sure, there's some parts. But most of it, you just got fucking thick-ass trees. And who knows what's in them.
Ugh, the boogeyman is what's in them. Fucking monsters from a long time ago.
A lot
ago.
Of it, yeah.
For real. So, and I know it's hard to predict the future, but... Can you guys expand any more, or are you kind of tapped out on what you can do?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing that right now that's still, you know, rubbing our fucking heads in the ground is this building that we're not moving anywhere on. No, we recently found a new builder. He's been trying to come up with new plans, and figure out what we can do. So it sounds like we'll have an actual building by May of 2022.
Oh, nice.
And then we'll be out of this shop. I mean, shit, we had to build a second story just to keep buffing calls in the main shop the other week. So we added, like, adding 300 square feet was a huge deal to us. When we got the last two machines in, we had to load up our CAD program and put in the dimensions of all the machines to see if we can fit everything inside. Mm. Because it just running the blue tape and measuring was not working out. It's that close. So expansion wise, getting the new building. And then what we're going to do is keep expanding. I mean, we're doing a lot of turkey manufacturing, but it's not something that we've really hit hard. Mm-hmm. So now that we have the tooling to do all of that, we'll probably expand into turkey. I mean, we turkey hunt a lot up here. So I would love to expand my knowledge into, you know, more mouth reads, paw calls, box calls, and all that, and see what we can really push out there. I mean, we got every fucking machine you've ever wished for. So we should be able to pump something cool out.
That's amazing. I mean, it really is. You guys have grown to this level.
I was looking at, I was with my wife last night. She was laughing at me and she's like, do you remember when it was the 10x10 shack behind, Aaron's dad's backyard? Yeah. And then the time that you built the 10x10 shack in the first shop you got, and you know, it takes you back, man. You know, you really look back at it and see what you've been through and the grind, you know, that everyone uses, and just a lot of good people behind Alex and I's back to make it happen, and a lot, you know, that a lot of hard work, and like I said, a lot of good people.
So the turkey line that you've got out right now, I mean, is that just kind of what you could do with your limited knowledge on like, you know, the ins and outs of making a turkey call?
Yeah. So beforehand, we actually had someone else building the pot calls and the box calls for us. And then we finally were able to start customizing, aka building our own. And that was about 3 years ago. So, and having, you know, learning how to run a CNC table router and figuring out different material, different strikers, different sound boards, everything, you know, that takes a little time. So I think we've been selling turkey calls for about 5 years now. So now we'll be able to push more out. We know the different material that's in, and that's a hard part that, you know, everyone's running into in the world of manufacturing is where the fuck can you find wood, right? Metal, anything. We've had one of our customers, you know, it's a pretty good size order. They've had to change their entire line because we can't find good wood. You know, we can't find I can't remember what they were using before, but we can't find it anymore.
Really?
Yeah, and the grade that, you know, we're buying from our mills, I mean, we're exhausting every sort of resource out there. If you can tell me of another mill that isn't pushing this kind of wood out, I mean, I would be surprised if we haven't heard of it yet. So even slate is hard to get. But it's a pain in the ass.
So let me ask you this. Do you see like a price increase of any kind coming in the near future?
I think if you see material product coming from China, coming from anywhere that's across sea, the shipping container price alone has, I think it's even over tripled or quadrupled in price.
Right.
So your plastics, I'm not going to be the one to say that, oh, plastic decoys are going to go crazy, but that's going to be a huge one. I mean, for a lot of these guys that have to bring in this. Luckily for us, all of our acrylic is made in the U.S. Damn near everything that we buy is made in the U.S. And that's what we've always tried to do and hold, is not to go towards the across seas and buy that material, because it is, you know, it is cheaper. It's not the same. There is some good places over there that do make, you know, pretty good material, but we've always found the stuff that's here in the States have worked better. So.
You know, I saw where a container ship last year was $6,000, now they're $36,000. So 600% increase.
Yeah, I heard they went up to over $50,000 this last couple months.
Jeez. You know, I don't know how much shit
don't
you
tell me that's not going to raise a price on a fucking computer or anything like that.
The only person right. that don't think it's going to happen is Jen Psaki, that dumb cunt that works for the president, because she does not understand economics.
Well, I mean, no. and you said you're needing a new phone, aren't you? Yours is getting ready to kill over.
Mine?
Oh, God, it's peeled a couple times. Yeah, you better. Yeah, if you need a new phone, you better get on me. Maybe it's the Spokane, Coeur d'Alene area that doesn't have a single iPhone 13, but fuck. We're not small podunk town, so I was pretty surprised. And, yeah, it was 4 weeks out.
A lady in town that went with us, her and her husband went to Vermont with us last week. She got a brand new phone, and she bought hers in 3 days, and it was shipped to her house. I thought you were wanting to get one, Andy.
Jeff.
So you don't get any
phone? He doesn't have time, Jeff. What he's got shit to do.
Listen, this is what pisses me off about everything. I like the good old days where I could just walk into a store, get what I wanted, and fucking leave. I don't want to stand on fucking hold for 2 hours to order a phone.
Stop voting blue.
Jeff, he told me it would be better than this. I've got buyer's remorse.
You promised.
He promised me. But no, that's where I'm at. It's just like in my phone, it's still working okay. The storage is full. I'm having to delete a lot of photos and you know shit like it's slowing down. I've noticed that, but I don't want to sit on hold for an hour and a half to order a new iPhone when I should just be able to walk into a store and get what I want.
I was at Target in outside of Boston, and a lady was bitching about the price of real estate taxes up there.
And up here?
This was in Boston, and she was bitching about it. And I said, "Well, I said, fucking quit voting blue. Pretty simple." Huh? So yeah, y'all keep voting them dumb bastards in. What do you expect? You know, it ain't gonna get any better.
But now you act like I need to call and order that phone.
So well, if you want the phone, I don't give a shit what you use. I don't care if you use Ma Bell and you got a cord on the wall on the phone. I don't care.
It's too intense.
I hate calling those people. I can't do it. I used to have a buddy that worked at Verizon, so it was so badass. I could just walk in
right.
and give him my old phone and be like, take care of me, Drew.
Right.
Yeah, customer service. Yeah. We have this new high-speed internet in town. We're getting with the times here. We don't have it at the lodge, or we'd be doing live shit all the time. But it's the gigabyte now. We get whatever speed it is. It's Andy's work has slowed way down since he did that. I mean, it's made, sped up his work. Right. Anyways, mine was out yesterday, so I called, and, of course, I talked to some lady in the Philippines or Taiwan or wherever the hell it was, and she was wanting me to push buttons and do this shit, and after about 5 minutes, I told her, I said, listen, send a technician out here to my house. I want it fixed tomorrow.
Right.
Well, I can't send someone out. I go, why not? Well, sir, if you'll just work with me. I said, no, listen, when my fucking car breaks down, I don't want to fucking call a mechanic and him talk to me over the phone how to fix this son of a bitch. I don't want that. I want to send a technician out. Unplug it, plug it in, do all this shit. Finally, I told her to stick that damn gigabyte shit right up her ass and hung up on her. I unplugged everything. That fucker was working 3 minutes later.
Uh-oh.
No, we lost Trevor.
I think we lost Trevor. He might have been going through a bad area.
But it made me so fucking mad.
Damn.
Can you there?
I got you.
Yeah.
That's miserable. Yeah, that's miserable. I hate that shit.
Oh, yeah, and I did.
But you unplugged it and plugged it back in and it started working?
Fucking started working about 3 minutes later. But the worst part is listening to Michelle
say what you need
bitch
to say.
About stuff. I mean, it wears me out when anything like that, and I'm trying to talk to the person, and she's telling me what I need to be saying. One time, I gave her the phone. I said, hold on, my wife wants to speak to you, and gave her the phone. Boy, she was fucking pissed. You know, you're telling me what to say here? You just talk to him. But that's the worst thing over shit, and she's not bitching at me about it. She's just bitching. But it seems like it's me because I switched over to this new company, and it wasn't working. I'm thinking, fuck, this is my fault now.
Yeah, I can't do it. I got to have Haley call them. I can't do it. Setting up Comcast, anything like that, that's miserable for me.
Yeah, it's just a pain in the fucking ass. I hate that stuff.
I lose my shit.
So you went to Idaho. Where else are you going on your North American tour this winter?
We'll probably do I think we're going to try to focus a little local-wise on the filming. Do some more Slade Northwest films on the west side. Everyone loves watching duck hunts, and I duck hunting's fun, but I'm a goose hunter, like that's what I live for, right. But everybody loves watching duck hunting on video, so yes. we voted and we're gonna try to get more duck hunting on video. I got a new lease over on the west side on the wet side of the area, so we'll go over there, go down to, hopefully we'll go down to Oregon, go see some buddies over there. But last year, our friend Colton, we went over to Nebraska, and it kind of all weather took a shit on us. It was just super nice, so it wasn't really worth anything. So he put this hunt together to head out with the crew and him out to Oklahoma to go hunt over there in January. I don't have all the details yet, but we're gonna head out there, and I think that's the only other travel plans besides potentially a Montana trip. But I'm trying to get Jurgis to figure out with his schedule so I can come down and see you guys.
You keep telling me that, and I keep telling you anytime.
I know. Well, he's got – this year is going to be hard because his wife, Jenny, she's damn near done. She'll be a CPA after November or December.
Oh, good for Alex.
So she's got her last test. I think that's literally the week before or the week of that time that, Jeff, you're telling me to come down. So that's when that's been the bugaboo on that one. So – you know, they got the three kids, so he's got to play, you know, super dad and go take care of them while super mom goes and takes care of her testing.
Yeah. Well,
so the next time we're going to see you is probably going to be in Mexico in February, right?
Yeah. You guys have that planned yet?
No, we still haven't. We're waiting to see what all happens with all this bullshit COVID crap.
Jeff's dragging his feet on this deal.
I'm not.
What's going to change?
It's not. I'm going to do it. I'll probably do it next week. I'll have Jesse do that next week.
We might as well get it booked up, because the only thing that they're going to change is how many times they put a thing up your fucking nose to test you.
You know, we did that when we came home, and they didn't even put that motherfucker in there. I blow my nose with my finger when I clean a booger out more than they put up my nose. They didn't do hardly anything. Yeah. They don't want you to test negative anyways.
Yeah.
Fuck no. They're not gonna tell you. They're gonna tell you to get back home.
Yeah.
We're going to see Elton John in February, the 1st of February, with Logan and Haley. Logan and Hallie. And then when we get back from that,
in Vegas or where?
No, we're gonna go to Kansas City.
Oh.
That's gonna be the first week of February. I've always wanted to see Elton John anyways.
That's where I think about seeing Elton John.
our tickets are so good that Logan will be able to give a hand job to Elton John while he's singing Tiny Dancer. That's how close to the stage we are.
I would like to
see. He's probably been practicing too, so.
Well, Stoner's gonna go stay with him for a month next week, so I'll probably Stoner will probably find out if he gets a hand job.
I think Stoner's already there. I got a Snapchat. They were having shop.
What's
burgers.
He doing over there?
I guess he's done with Blake, and it's onto the next couch.
He's like a gypsy anyways. He's going to go there for
I fucking love Stoner.
He'll be there a week, and then he'll go to Maryland for 3 days, and then he'll be here. Shit, I guess he'll be here in about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
If he showed up here tomorrow, I wouldn't be surprised.
That boy's got a gypsy soul.
He does.
God
he
love does. Him. I just.
A gypsy soul and a Muslim beard.
I was sitting there
beard.
With him in Minnesota, and he was talking. I was like, you going to go out to Early Goose? He's like, I don't, you know, and his slow, I don't know. And Jones walked by, and he's like, and they started talking, and then all of a sudden he's like, yeah, I'm going to go. It's like, you're just going by the seat of your pants, man. That's awesome.
No family, no wife. Do what you want to do. That's what you should do.
Do it while you can.
Yeah, and he's only, what, 28?
28 yep. or so, yeah.
Shit, I didn't know that.
He had Ron Stanfield's. That's the way my dad's attitude was up until my dad died.
Ron would get to the place he was going and then try to figure out a plan after that.
Yeah, didn't give a shit.
Yeah, I like that. I got a couple buddies with that mentality. That's kind of like what Stefan used to be like back in the day.
Yeah, when he was telling me about living in New Zealand, I was like, what the fuck? Just go to New Zealand for 6 months and stay.
What else you
got
to do?
You know, then he got structure and got a girlfriend and got a dog. So, but now he's got no girlfriend now, so he's just got his house and his dog. So,
he's
stuck.
Isn't he paying her bills, though, or something still?
No. That was the bad one. The one that stole from all of us.
Stole like cold hard cash or what?
Christ, I think we're missing $1,500, Haley and I.
Shit.
Oh man, there was all sorts of shit gone. Yeah, it was bad. It was bad.
I don't understand that shit. And that shit must be so good you can throw it up in there and catch sunshine with it, because there's no reason to have to deal with that kind of shit in a relationship.
Well, no, she was so good because she didn't have a fucking job, and so we would have her watch the dogs because they were renting the other side of the duplex, and you know, it's my best friend's girlfriend. She was a good friend of mine, so it's like she had us tricked.
Is that a tough conversation to have with Stefan whenever you finally figure out what's going on, or is he realizing that shit is missing also?
Oh no, I love Stefan, but he's pretty oblivious when it comes to some of those things. And
right.
We were all kind of catching. Well, Haley and I, we were talking about things for a little bit. Like, this is weird, that's weird, this is weird, this doesn't make sense. And then it all started just pouring out. And Haley's the one that actually told Stefan, because she found a bunch of her shit in Stefan's house.
Mm.
Jeez. See, I would handle that shit myself. I'd be like, listen, dude, you're dating a fucking loser. Oh.
Oh. No, it was the day of that we found out.
Oh.
Well, we had no proof, you know? We had nothing.
Yeah.
There was no, like, hey, man.
Right.
So, once we had the cold proof, it was like, all right.
This is what's
going on. Let's get rid of this poison in our fucking life.
Yeah. They don't listen, though. Stefan, how old's Stefan?
He's 31, 32, 31.
Oh, okay. So...
He's on the Josh Stoner train.
Little older than Stoner, so.
Yeah.
So that shit. There was something I was going to ask you, and I can't remember what it was now. Probably.
When do you guys open up down there?
November 13th.
Yeah, thanks to the great state of Texas and their dumbass fucking.
We got.
So when did you guys used to open? What's that whole big?
October 28th. We would open.
No, we did.
Yes, we did.
It was the first weekend in November,
or the last weekend in October, if it was the last 3 days. Andy wants to argue again.
I'm not arguing with you. Okay. I'm just saying, on average,
and the hunting's that much better earlier than.
No,
later.
We could be hunting right now.
It's not that the hunting's so much better then. It's the hunting is so much shittier on the 2 weeks that they gave us. There's no birds here.
In February.
So now they took 2 weeks off at the front of November, and they stuck that on to February when there's nothing here.
I gotcha.
We would be better off hunting November to January 31st.
Yeah.
They did the same shit for our snow geese up here.
Yeah, makes no fucking sense.
Dumbasses.
We
have enough geese. We could be hunting right now. I could run a group every day right now, and we could be shooting birds right now. But we can't.
Yeah. Did you see, do you follow Sandman? You know, Austin, the guy.
Yes, you had him on.
Did you see, he went live on Saturday or Sunday, and he had, I don't know, a couple thousand snows floating around him landing his decoys.
Oh, no.
And we have snow geese all the way from the top of Washington down to the Oregon, right on the Columbia River, down through Oregon, that have all migrated in within the last 2 weeks. And they took out the first, I think it's the first 3 weeks of the season that you can't shoot snow geese, and they added it to our February piss poor snow goose season.
It just makes it's the same shit. I just don't, it doesn't don't, make sense.
What rationale did they give you, or have you heard anything for them making that switch?
I haven't done my research. I've just been the one that's been bitching about it. That's it.
Yeah, because with us, they told us, the people up in the panhandle, they just love the opportunity that they have to hunt in February. Well, that's funny because we've talked to a lot of people in the panhandle, and none of them have been happy.
Or appreciate the opportunity.
With the decision.
Does the entire state of Texas open up the same day?
No, there's three zones.
There's three zones, and the people in the panhandle, they get that bonus 2 weeks in February for their opportunity to shoot geese that they don't have. But they get to shoot sandhill cranes starting October 28th, I think. We don't get to fucking shoot cranes till Thanksgiving weekend. We have cranes here now, too.
Yeah, it seems like they could have done a whole better job for you guys than what they did.
They don't give two fucks about us out here. They never have, except they like to sell all the out-of-state license we sell.
Right.
Fucking Texas is just like every other state. We got fucking dumb fucks all over the big cities. Austin's a shithole.
Oh, yeah.
Sanford, Austin.
Yeah, there's so many different regions pulling for different things, right?
Yeah,
so.
I just don't. I mean, but they don't ever ask the people that know. And then the guy tried to tell me on the guy that's on part of the committee tried to talk to me about what's going on out here like I didn't fucking know. And that he pissed me off because he told me, he said, you need to shut up and just listen to me. Well, that was the wrong fucking thing to say.
And he lives he lives 8 hours away. He lives on the coast.
Yeah.
He doesn't even live up
here. Holy smokes. That's what he said?
Oh, I was fucking hot. Oh, I was fucking mad. I'm
surprised you didn't drive down there.
Oh, I was fucking hot. I think my wife heard me cuss a lot about going down and beating the fuck out of some motherfucker with his own arms. Oh, I was hot. I mean, it just pissed me off. But he don't want to listen to nobody. He thinks he's the man, and kept telling me about the opportunity. And I hate to throw somebody else under the bus. And I was like, well, the guy Toby and them think it's dumb as shit too. So I threw them under the bus, kinda, because everybody he was trying to tell me that thought it was a good idea has told me how stupid it is.
Well, I mean, you got to team up and do it together, right?
Yeah, I was like, well, I want to come to a meeting. Well, we don't have meetings. Well, when the fuck do you Einsteins get together to make your fucking decisions then, you know?
Yeah, I mean, all that should be open to the general public so it can all be processed through, not just between four different fucking guys that live on the coast.
It was dumb. I think he's on the coast, another guy, and I think the other two are some fucking liberal fucks that live in Denmark or somewhere probably. It's probably about like ERCOT, who they run our electrical grid.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Gotcha. I'm moving to Montana. That's it.
Moving
there
to
you
Montana.
Go. Hey, that's the state. There's a bunch of birds there right now.
I would love to live in Montana, but they're going to be just like every other place. All them fucking dumbasses from California are going to move over there and ruin it.
Oh, there's a bunch. There's a bunch moving over there, but luckily you got a lot of land still. So,
I love California. People are great people, and I feel sorry for them because they're just outnumbered by the dumbasses, but there's a bunch of good people there too.
Oh, yeah. I've got a lot of good friends down there in that Chico area, right in the rice country.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of good people there that are stuck in that crap.
Yep.
Have you gone to California to hunt ever?
I haven't, but Alex has. He went down there to go film and hunt one of our good friends that owns a guide service, Cameron Tucker. Mm-hmm. But I have not hunted it. When Alex came back and told me the story on how it's operated and what they do and how they do it, I'm not a big fan of waiters.
Right. No, I don't blame you.
And that's always been a kicker for me. But just the mud and the hunting on the checky, and I don't know. It just seems it's like if you don't have weather, you are SOL, man. Like, you got to have weather to have a decent hunt there, to get birds pushing off. There's refuges everywhere. I mean, there's thousands of acres, and there's ducks and geese fucking everywhere that I've seen.
Now,
because we go down there in January for a show, and so you see it. And I think this year, if they have the show, then we're going to try to go down a day early and try to get in on some sort of a snow hunt or I'd love to go on like a Aleutian cackler hunt.
Yeah,
because they have some of those small regions that do it.
Is that why you don't like duck hunting? Is because of the wader aspect, or
I fucking hate water?
Right. Well, I'm right there with you.
Wow, yeah. People don't die in wheat cornfields. People die in ponds and lakes.
You got a good point
there.
You
get shot, and that's your own piss poor fucking, that's your own deal. But, as soon as I started hunting with water, the boat that I was always going on wasn't ever big enough, and they're like, hold on to the goose decoys because you'll float. I'm like, oh. Badass. My dad was always a field hunter, and that's what I grew up doing. We had ponds and, you know, smaller lakes and creeks and stuff in the big ass ranch that they used to lease. But no, we didn't. It was drive to your spot with your trailer, unload all your shit, and then drive your trailer out.
I think people that don't like field hunting have just never had a good field hunting experience, because you can't tell me that it's not 100 times easier than the shit that you have to do whenever you're hunting a fucking water hole.
Oh, I mean, the mud. You should see the mud that we were trekking through up in North Idaho. I mean, in our area, I know you guys probably got mud too, but the mud that it going up to your knees, and then the water's up to your balls, and you're trying to, man, your boots coming out.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
No, it's no good. But I catch a lot of shit because I am also, I don't like the whole water hunting aspect either, and I catch a lot of shit. But, I mean, it's just
Nebraska.
I think you have a lot more opportunity. A lot. I mean, you go on bigger waters, you get a lot more people pushing birds around. In our area, you get on the river, and there's a lot more opportunity for guys to, you know, just getting out there and shooting ducks,
right?
And wanting to learn the ropes. I think that's a good place to get into, and because there is a lot more opportunity with bird movement and, you know, things getting pushed around. You know, at least in our area, rather than trying to go and lock down a goose field and trying to shoot. You know, I mean, you're not shooting in our Spokane area. You're not shooting ducks in our wheat fields. I mean, you can get on here and there when it floods and such, but you want to shoot ducks, you're going to the big water.
Yeah. So
that's for all of them.
Before we let you go here, have you got a new puppy?
Oh, I got my pup last year. I got Nash last year. So Nash is one now.
Okay, what about the, you just had a dog recently pass away.
Yeah, that's when I was up in Alberta. Haley called and said that, you know, he's been, he was battling it for a while, and I got him on these human antidepressants so his nerve system would calm down so he wouldn't breathe so damn hard and pass out. But he would, his trachea or whatever was starting to close. He was losing the muscle. So we lost our old man when I was up in Alberta. You know, I came running home, or, you know, hauling ass home. And I missed them by 3 hours. So that was a bummer. And but, you know, it was his time to shine and, you know, head up to the good Lord. So he's up there watching over and hanging out. But he was a dynamite dog. But
how old?
I got Nash last year. How old was he? He was 12, I think. 12. I adopted him. I adopted him from a pound down here in just podunk little town called Othello, Washington. I mean, you should have seen that shithole. There was mice running around everywhere. There was just dogs that looked all terrible. And then there was this huge, huge chocolate lab with like four different colors of brown on them. I mean, he was 105 pounds when I got him.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was a big old dog. But yeah, we had him for about 7 years.
Jeez. Now, you know, when we got Lou, we didn't know how big he was going to be. That's a big commitment on your wife's part to take in a 100-plus-pound dog that you're rescuing.
Kentucky going to school. I was living with my buddy Alex and not Jurgis, and but a different buddy of mine, and my cousin.
Oof.
So we had a little bachelor pad going on in a big old chocolate lab with us. Yeah,
I'm looking at a picture of him. He's a beautiful dog, and I see what you're talking about, the different shades of brown that he had on him. I mean, just this picture with the goose, he's a beautiful dog.
Yeah, Alex actually took that photo, and Jenny, Alex's wife, she's a hell of an editor, and so she edited that photo out, and they got it framed up for me a long, long time ago. It's one of my favorite photos, but it's gorgeous. He was a looker, that's for sure. Dumber than rock sometimes, but fuck, he was a train wreck.
I think all dogs are. I think they've all kind of got their moments where you're just like, what are you doing? Like, Lou's 9, and yeah. He's not slowed down at all. Like, around the house, you know, we'll see how this hunting season goes, but around the house, like, he's still the same old dog. I get up to brush my teeth every morning. He rolls over on his belly so that I can scratch his stomach with my feet, and that's every morning. And then he's fucking up and running around and knocking kids over. I keep waiting for that day where he's gonna hit. It's coming. I know it is. You know, he's 8 or 9.
Yeah, but he's still gonna get up, and it's gonna be slow, and that's it. But he's still gonna get up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's how Mac was. It didn't matter how hard it was for him, because we moved into a new house in July. And it was all hardwood floors. And watching that dog trying to walk around on hardwood floors, luckily it was a rancher, so he didn't have to go up and down any stairs. But that was the old joke, is like, you got to stay alive until we move into this rancher that we bought for you. So he lived in it for 3 months. So he had his time.
How'd him and Nash get along?
Oh, you can see there's funny, because, you know, of course, when your dog dies or something, you know, something passes away, and you go back and you look at all your photos, and you can see the timeline of Nash sitting next to Mac, and Mac not wanting that puppy to be next to him. Mm-hmm. And then a couple of days later, he's like kind of sitting on the same bed. And then, you know, 3 weeks later, they're cuddling together. So it just, you know, it takes time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I've always had 3 dogs growing up. And so you always had that cycle.
Yeah.
So it was fun to watch that cycle, and I'm glad that Nash was able to hang out with him, but they never got to hunt together, but that's all right. Nash been hunting with a lot of good dogs, so he'll learn right up.
Yeah. Well, bud, it's been we've gone over an hour, and I know you got a lot of stuff to do. I know you're busy right now. I'm glad that you guys are, I'm glad everything's going well for you guys, and hopefully we get to, there's Ollie. Hopefully we get to hunt together this year, and if not, then we will, we'll get on a beach in Mexico and go from there.
Heck yeah. Well, you boys get that scheduled up so we can get that on the old calendar, and, we'll try to get down to Texas. So I hope you guys have a good season, and we'll chat with you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Take care of yourself, and God bless you.
Thanks, guys. See you later.
Bye, bud.
Trevor Austin.
Trevor Austin. They are just...
good people. Good people. Salt of the earth people, as you say, Andy.
Salt of the earth people.
Good people.
They're blowing up, Jeff.
Yes, they are.
Makes me proud.
Yep.
To be associated with them. I don't know how to get that off of my computer. Do I just drag it over?
I have no idea.
What do I do, Jeff?
I don't know.
Jeff, tell me what do I need to do here?
Everybody listening, y'all have a great day. Thank y'all. God bless y'all. Be safe. Peace.
And before you do peace out, we want to thank you for listening. And tell you to go check out all of our wonderful sponsors. Check out Pacific Calls, Shin Gear Waiters, Steak Plains Meats, Eyesight Drones, Stanfield Hunting Outfitter, Bangtail Whiskey, Goose Creek Retrievers, Gundog Outdoors, Looking Glass Duck Club Podcast, Dirty Duck Coffee, Lucky Duck, Bosch Hot Shells, and Dive Bomb Industries.